Good morning, everyone. It is indeed a joy to be here, and the song was saying that the rock won't move, but you and I've got to move. All right? The rock of our salvation won't move, but you and I, the church of Christ, has got to move. Amen? That's where I want to start. But I'm very grateful that it is because of the grace of God and His Spirit who is moving in the world, doing what He is given to us to do, to empower us, to equip us, and to work and move in us to move for the sake of the gospel, that I am here. Praise the Lord. I'm here with gratitude and thankfulness to you all who have been part of the story of transforming hopelessness and helplessness into joy and hope among the orphan children in Uganda. I have a few sponsorship packages for children. I think the last time I was here, the first time I came, I asked if there were volunteers who wanted to act on faith and give me the fuel for going through the sermon time by offering to sponsor a child for $35. Permit me to ask, is there any family that would want to say, yes, I want to join you, I want to move as the Spirit moves to start sponsoring a child? Is there any family? I pass this to you, $35 per month. Thank you. Is there another family? Another family that would like to start sponsoring a child, $35 per month. Thank you. Another family? Is there another family? Yes, I see a family there. Thank you. Thank you. You might be amazed, but this is the gospel in action. This is the gospel in action. Thank you. This is the gospel in action. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. I have others outside, so don't think that you're going to be beaten up. Someone, please bring me those packages. Someone, bring me those packages. There was a hand here. Yes. Yes, bring them at the table and pass them around. We are called to be practical. The Spirit of God moved me to send a message to Pastor Phil. And I asked Pastor Phil, I'm going to be in the U.S. and Illinois, and I have a weekend available. I'm looking forward to coming and worshiping with you. And I said, I know summertime people take time off and go. Are you having a service? Can I come and join? He said, yes, come on. And then he said, would you mind preaching? I said, I would not mind preaching. I live to preach. I love to preach. And I knew that that was the Spirit moving me. And so I brought these sponsorship packages by faith because I sensed in my spirit that this is a moment of God's grace and God's move in this family of God, in this congregation. So praise the Lord. Thank you for those who have already taken those sponsorship packages. You see, the gospel is preached or proclaimed in word and in action. The gospel is not passive, because the gospel is the living word of God. The gospel is Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save the lost. Salvation is practical. Salvation is not theoretical. Salvation is real. Salvation is not abstract. Amen? And so, thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Phil. Thank you, Christ's family here at Christ Community Church. The title for my message is Gospel to Go. I believe that most of us have gone to a McDonald's or one of those fast food things, Burger King. If you go inside, That is if you are not on the go and you go through the drive-through. Because you are on the go. If you happen to go inside, they will ask you for here or for to go. How many of you have been asked that question? Now I am speaking to people who understand. This makes it easy. For here or for to go? It's a clear question. And you know the answer. You actually don't go to the internet to do research. You don't go to Facebook and ask, you know, on the ask domain. No, no, no. It's easy. You know what you want. It's either for here or for to go. And if it is for here, they will put a tray for you and put there that paper thing and give it to you and a cup and say, go, pick a table to sit. Because it is for here. But if it is for to go, you know what they will do? They will not give you a tray. They will get a paper bag, brown bag. They will put in what you have ordered. They will wrap it up and they will pass it on to you because it is for to go. Amen? And off you do what? You go. Gospel to go. Because the gospel is for to go. The gospel is not for receiving on a tray and sitting down and crossing our legs and turning on our favorite TV channel or whatever and then wait for your time to go to heaven. Mark chapter 13, verse 10. I like it when I'm given only one verse to preach on. But you know, one verse can't do justice to what the gospel is all about. But that one verse is a clarion call. That one verse is a wake-up call to you and I. Mark 10:13 simply says, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Must. What's that word? Any teachers of English, any students of English, must. It's an imperative, right? It's an imperative. It compels you. There is no negotiation, no debate. That's what this verse is asking us to do. It's dynamite. The gospel must first. Okay, there are other things that we have to do as men and women of faith, as followers of Jesus Christ. There are other things we have to do. But listen to the priority according to God. The Son, the gospel must first. I know some translations and versions render the message that comes to us in different wordings. And so I thought we must first refresh ourselves on what we understand the gospel to be. What's the gospel? What's this gospel that must first be preached to all nations? In fact, the word preach, other translations have it as proclaim. This gospel must first be proclaimed. Another word that is translated for to mean preach or proclaim is declare. This gospel must first be declared. To a smaller community in a playing field. This gospel must be proclaimed. This gospel must first be proclaimed in a small village in my country, in Uganda. No. The scope of the preaching of the gospel, the scope of the proclamation of the gospel is all nations. And again, students of English and teachers of English, all means all, excluding no one and none. That's the gospel that I find in the four books that we call the Gospels. Even though we have four books that we call the four Gospels, but there is one gospel that must be proclaimed. And that one gospel, in fact, Paul in Galatians goes so far as to say, if anyone preaches a different gospel, let them be cursed. That is how committed to ensuring that the true and right gospel is proclaimed. That is how committed to it Paul was, to go as far as cursing anyone who would proclaim a different gospel. So, let's agree that the gospel is God's message to humanity about his son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Where do I get the audacity to say this? Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Remember, the gospel first proclaimed by the angel who appeared to the people, the shepherds, and said, when they were afraid, he said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. In other words, the gospel, aka good news. That's the other name for good news, the gospel. In the Bible, if you read, sometimes the two are interchangeable. They are interchanged. Sometimes Paul will write, we preach the good news. In the next phrase or in the next sentence you write, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not intended to confuse you. No, the gospel is the good news. Hallelujah. And the good news is still good news as it was in the days of Jesus and in the days of the apostles. It's still good news in our days. So, read Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, and chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Amazingly, this is something I found when I was preparing to share. In Luke, the birth of Jesus Christ, we are told that it happened during the time of Augustus Caesar, who ordered the counting of the people. So that's one Caesar, one emperor who was reigning. In chapter 3, we are told it is Emperor Tiberius Caesar. It's another reign. And John is preaching. John is preaching about Jesus Christ. He's preaching the gospel of repentance. And people come to him and say, well, is this the one maybe that the angels talked about? And he says, no way, I am not that one. And he says, someone is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I am dunking you in water. Someone is coming who will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. And he says, I am not even worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. And scripture says, he preached fervently the gospel as people expected to hear what he was saying. I was impressed because I had never seen that text where it is mentioned that John the Baptist was preaching the gospel and that he was doing it with fervency, with people expecting to hear what was going to come. Chapter 3, verse 3 says, he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, told them things to do. Salvation is practical. Salvation is not passive. The gospel is active. In verse 9 he says, the axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's the gospel, according to John. He presented it to all the people in his area, the world that he knew. And then Jesus Christ comes in this verse of Mark 13:10, and he says, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. You know, Jesus could not directly say, I am the gospel. Otherwise, that would, you know, be the demonstration of maybe blowing his own trumpet. So how does he present the gospel when he launches his ministry? In Mark chapter 1, verse 14 says, after John was put in prison, the John who is preaching in Luke chapter 3, he is imprisoned because the gospel had power and was cutting, and it cut Herod, and he put him in prison. But the gospel had to be preached to all nations. So Jesus Christ speaks from where John the Baptist lives. And this is what Mark reports. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. That is the gospel according to Jesus. The good news that has to be preached. But let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. And see how Paul, a rebel, a Pharisee, a hater of Christians, who was grabbed by the grace of God and arrested and commissioned to preach the gospel. Let's hear from Paul how he presents what the gospel is to us. And he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The gospel is the means through which people from all nations, from all races, Jews and Gentiles, are called to belong to Jesus Christ by faith, to become family. And so that's the gospel that has to be preached through to all the nations. Brethren, the gospel is too good to hoard. Do you know people who like hoarding things, good things? There are people also hoard junk. Yeah, there are people who have, I think it's a weakness. Everything that comes in, they want to hold on to it They want to hold on to it. And they hold their own things. Then they reach out and take what doesn't belong to them. And they hold those things as well. And, you know, before you know it, they're just possessed and grabbed by the evil spirit of hoarding. The good news is not for hoarding. The gospel is too good to hoard, brothers and sisters, and is only beneficial to those that it's intended to benefit when it is heard. So Christ gave the marching orders to go. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, has never been rescinded. Anyone know where that has been changed? Or do we know what Matthew 28, 18 to 20 is? Let's go there. Let's go there, and then I will wrap up so that you can go for the gospel, because the gospel is for to go. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." I'm grateful that I witnessed part of that gospel marching orders being done here. Babies being baptized in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, we just baptized three. Do you know how many babies are born in a single day all over the world? Anyone who is smart? Do you know how many babies are born every single day in the world? I believe they are in millions, right? We just baptized three. Do you know how many babies are born in Plainfield every single month? No. Are we two? Did someone say two? A lot more than that. Okay, so there's a lot that needs to be done. Unfortunately, there are babies who are born and they are killed. There are babies who are born, and rather than be brought to Christ, they are sacrificed. In areas where the gospel of love, the gospel of being brought to Christ and into the kingdom of God, in areas where that has not been proclaimed, children are born and they are sacrificed. And so you and I are given all authority and power in heaven and on earth to go. Gospel to go, brothers and sisters. I don't know what it is that keeps you from going, but those are the marching orders. Preaching the gospel is an obligation for us Christian believers. It's not an option. It's not a debatable or negotiable issue. It's not. I'm telling you, I had a discussion with someone and said, you know, what do we do when we are encouraged to keep our faith to ourselves and offend others and not offend others by pushing our faith, our religion to them? Aren't we supposed to be gentlemen and ladies and just leave people the way they are? They are all right. And I said, which Bible do you read? I mean, which Bible do you read? Are you a believer? Do you believe in the one who came and died? and rose again. The hope of glory, Christ in you, Christ in me. The hope of glory in a hopeless and helpless world. What Bible do you read? And so I said, brother and sister, in fact, when you read the verse 9 before 10, it says, we are to lay our lives on the line. And it says we are to stand. We will be even arrested for proclaiming the gospel. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. I'll be with you. He says, don't be afraid. We are frightened as believers. It must break the Lord's heart. He who gave us all the authority and power to be his witnesses. That we are cowards. I find myself sometimes being a coward. But I will tell you one thing that happened when I was coming on Monday at the airport in Uganda. I had actually missed a flight. But as I was coming to the airport, I prayed. I said, Lord, I have work to do. Provide a flight for me. And I said, even if it means delaying one of the flights, please do it. And one of the flights was delayed. A flight was supposed to leave at 10:30 p.m., it left at 2 a.m., and that's the flight I went on. In the waiting lounge before we left, I was prompted by the Spirit to pray. And I stood and I said, a good early morning, ladies and gentlemen. Said, we are going to pray. And I saw people turn and they looked. I had first sought permission from the security agencies. And I said, go for it. So I said, I have clearance from the security agencies of the airport to pray. And I said, Uganda is a Christian country. We believe in God. Our national anthem starts by saying, O Uganda, may God uphold you. Our motto says, for God and my country, I know yours is in God we trust. You can use that sometimes to, you know, put in a word for the Lord if you didn't know. So I say, that's who we are. As you came into our country, you saw we are not bashful. Our papers, our buildings, they have all for God and my country. And I said, so we are going to pray. And I said, Acts chapter 17, verse 25 says this. The God who made the earth and everything in it is the Lord of the heaven and the earth. And from him we get everything. So I said, we're going to go to his skies. We might as well ask him to take care of us in the skies. And then I said, verse 27 actually says, in him we live and move and have our being. I said, doesn't that really make you want to pray with me? They said, amen. I had an amen from there. I had an amen from there. And then I prayed. One man came to me and he said, are you crazy? I said, did I sound crazy? He said, you are not afraid? And I said, afraid of what? I said, you are my brothers and my sisters. I said, you know, are you animals? I said, you know, some of you came to see the animals in the safari areas, lions and elephants, and you are told to stay in your cars. I said, I see people created in my father's image, my brothers and sisters. Why should I be afraid to pray to the Father with them? Christ told us to pray when we pray to say, our Father. He said, you put me to shame. He had been on a mission trip, 3 weeks in Uganda, and he said, I wish you would do that at our airport in Amsterdam. I said, well, let's see when we get there. I said, we just prayed that God would take us there. We got there, Spoor Airport, Amsterdam. I got there. In the waiting lounge before we took off again, I prayed. I said, God, give me courage. It doesn't come easy. You know, it requires remembering what Jesus really said, that I have given you all authority and power in heaven and on earth. Is his word trustworthy or is it not? That's what it is all about. So I said, Lord, I trust your word. So here we go. I stood in Amsterdam. Fortunately, the brother had gone. But I knew the Spirit of the Lord was with me. So I stood and I said, men and women, we are going to pray. I saw, you see, there were people I could see by their garb. They were Muslims. Others by their moka, the scar cap, they were Jews. Those that I'm not supposed to offend. But I said, they belong to Jesus. So I prayed. I prayed in Amsterdam. When I finished, two people came. They said, are you crazy? I said, did I sound crazy? They said, what church do you belong to? I said, I belong to the Church of Christ. But what denomination? I said, doesn't matter. I belong to the Church of Christ. And Christ commands me and empowers me to be his witness to all nations. And I said, this has been an opportunity for me to name the name of Jesus Christ to Muslims who would never come to a church sanctuary. So this has given him an opportunity to name the name of Jesus Christ and tell them that Jesus loves them, the Jews who would not allow me in their synagogue. Time has gone. I've got to stop. But we've got to move. Yes, the rock of our salvation doesn't move, but you and I have got to move. You've got to let the Spirit move in you. You've got to move at least to your neighbor. How many of you have neighbors whom you've never spoken to? You have neighbors that you don't know. Raise your hands. You have neighbors and you have never actually moved as far as next door to say, I need to do better. I need to know you. And then when they know you and you know them, then you can make them know our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to pray. If you'd like to move and let the Spirit of God move you, stand up and we pray. And then I will say the blessing. I was told to do the benediction. I ask you to do this because Pastor Phil, I don't know whether you punished me, I don't know whether you were moved by the Holy Spirit, but this verse, Mark 13:10, is a marching orders verse. And the gospel must first be preached. Maybe you've been leaving Pastor Phil to do all the preaching. Who would like to preach the next two Sundays? That is not Pastor Phil. Pastor Phil, you're going to be suspended for a while. Seriously, who wants to preach in the next 2 weeks? Let me see by a show of hand and Phil, mark them. Who wants to preach? Who wants to preach? This is a special Sunday. This is a special Sunday. Who wants to preach next 2 weeks? Please, let me see a show. You come here. I said I want to pray. I want to pray for people who are going to go out to their neighbors. Those who want to move, not just moving, standing in here among your friends. Those who want to pray and receive power to move. To be able to pray at an airport. We've had services at Heathrow on our mission trips. We've gotten our guitars and we've started singing. And people have come. I said, I'm not going to be upsetting anyone. They are advertising cars. They are advertising things. I mean, they are talking about flights leaving to India and to America and to Canada. And who? And I say, hey, we have a flight going to heaven. I might as well tell people about it. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. So who wants to be on Pastor Phil's preaching list? Those who want to be trained to preach. Let me see a show of hands. People of God, did you hear what it said? Mark chapter 13, verse 10. And the gospel must first be preached. Where are the preachers? come here? Anyone else want to come? Anyone else want to become a preacher? Anyone else want to be a preacher? Please come. Please come. This is how Jesus called his disciples. This is a call to actually do the gospel. Anyone else want to be a preacher? Please come. Please come. Josh, don't you want to be a preacher? Please come. Please come. Please come. Anyone else? Young people. Anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Young people, come. Come, come. Anyone wants to be a preacher? Pastor Phil, you've got to forgive me. The text you gave me requires this. And the gospel must first be preached. Let me read you a verse. Allow me to indulge myself, my brothers and sisters. Give me the grace to go beyond your usual time of ending your sermons and services. Listen to these words in Romans chapter 10. You may have heard them before, but listen again to them carefully. It says, how then can they call on the name on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. How can the gospel be preached unless you and I are willing to go? I'm not going to leave. Anyone, I want more people to come. I want more people to come, please. You're going to decide whether the service ends or it stays. I'm not holding you hostage. I'm not a terrorist. As I told, that's what I told the people at the airport. I said, look, I am armed with the Bible. It's just papers. But on the papers is written the living, active word of God. The powerful word of God that transforms a murderer, a terrorist like Paul, to become the apostle of love and mercy that preaches about the love, its depth, its depth, its height, its width, and all those good things about the love of God. I think you want to be a preacher. No? What do you want to be? Oh. And the church is full of us like that. We want to receive and soak the gospel and bask in it and even bust with the gospel. Thank you, brave people. Praise the Lord. Pastor Phil. Oh, no, don't go away. Don't go away. Don't go away. Pastor Phil, come and bless these men and women. And look at them. Look at them. Let's pray because these are on your team. I called Josh because Josh, I stayed at their house last night. Thank you, the coach. Josh is ready to go to Uganda. Next year, he's leading a team. And when people come to Uganda, I don't even give them notice. We go to a school or a church and I say, Josh, you're preaching. And they preach. So I have given him advance notice, a whole year's notice now, almost a whole year's. So you've got to prepare. And he's in Trinity. He's in Trinity International University where I went. You can't go to that school and not want to preach the gospel, Josh. Over to you, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, Ben.
You pray, and then I will do the blessing that you asked me to do.
That's awesome. You know, the one thing to remind ourselves is, even though you didn't come up, the call to proclaim the gospel, that's what preaching is. It's gossiping the gospel. Wherever you are, wherever you go, and none of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, are exempt. All of us are called to that task of preaching, proclaiming the gospel in the ordinary byways and highways of life. And may this be a call for us to open those lips, to begin speaking the words of God, sharing the good news with those around us. May it call on us to be diligent in prayer, because calling down the power of the Spirit of God to open hearts, open minds, change lives, May this be a difference maker in your life to see that this is a gospel not to hear and to stay, but a gospel to go. And that call to go and make disciples is not just for preachers and pastors. It's for all of one, any of us who call upon the name of Jesus. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the heart and the desire of those on the stage and those who are in the congregation and maybe didn't feel that they could come up or didn't know what to do, but their hearts are burning now that they would be lit on fire for Jesus to share good news with those who don't know him. Lord, we pray that you would use us to be proclaimers of the gospel, that we would be gossiping it left and right,
yes,
the good news of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ to those who are broken, to those who have screwed up and sinned and gone far off from God, that there is yet hope, that we come as beggars to the throne of God, calling our friends, our neighbors, and those far from us to come near and find hope and joy and life, for it is the good news of great joy. And so, Father, may you fill our hearts with great joy that spills out and over into our lips and into our prayers, that will spill over into the very actions of our life. So, Lord, we thank you. We offer this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.